Just one of those days, you know?
I actually should publish a disclaimer right off the bat. I'm not sure what I'm going to say. This sermon came flying out of my fingertips because I only remembered on Thursday that I was preaching this morning. And then I haven't been feeling the greatest, so I thought, okay, we'll just see what happens. So I don't think in all of my years in ministry in the church have I ever read a more perfect description of who we are as the body of Christ than that which is found in today's epistle. I am equally puzzled how easy it is for many of us to glaze over this letter as cutesy poetry devised to make us all feel good about our individuality rather than a test to see if we can work together despite our differences. There is one Lord, there is one body and one spirit, just as we were called in our hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is above all and through all and in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. In that particular quote alone, many of us missed the mark by zeroing in on the oneness of being followers of Christ and forgetting that although we are to act as one, we are many gifted individuals who offer different types of gifts to the oneness. Paul goes on to name some of these gifts and how some of us would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors. These are pretty heavy titles. Some teachers, and so on. To me, the clear point is that we need all these different parts to build up the body of Christ until all of us come to know the knowledge of the Son of God to maturity. Now, I don't think anywhere does Paul say that we should all become all of these things. I think it would be a very boring group of people if we were all pastors. And trust me, I've been to many clergy events. I think Paul is encouraging us to hone in on our gifts and offer what we think we can to Christ, and more importantly, to each other in this body of Christ. Personally, I am fascinated by people's gifts and the offerings of self, and I'm always amazed what happens when these gifts are celebrated in one another in such a way that we become one great unified body. In my relatively short time here, I have had the privilege to witness this coming together of these gifts and working towards the common good. And it is true we may not always see it as such, but there's a spiritual gain or a presence that it's hard to deny when we use these gifts together and become unified in the body of Christ. I cannot, however, stand here and say this is all wonderful and pretty and marvelous without acknowledging the harsh reality that still exists as well. And Paul does address this reality. We must no longer be children tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, for whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as part of each working properly, promotes the body's growth in building up itself in love. So many of us have felt at times tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine. And let's face it, we do not have a perfect history around that action based on love. Last time I spoke, I talked about the love language in the Gospels. And as I understand it, it is not a feeling, it is an action. And in order to fulfill that love, and to let one another's gifts flourish, we must nurture those gifts in one another. To present our way as the only way, or to present our gift as the more important gift, completely misses the mark of that unified community and what it looks like. If we believe that our way is the only way in any aspect of our faith, our commitment to our parish community, then I'm sorry to say we are doomed to failure. If we do not learn from those failures, we are doomed to repeat them and these patterns until we become nothing more than a voice in the wilderness, It is only the collective offering of ourselves without the need for personal gain, and at the same time, the true acknowledgement of the gifts and talents of those around us, that will lead us forward into showing our community here and beyond these doors who we are. That there is no difference between you and the person sitting next to you as members of the body of Christ. Instead, magnifying our differences and celebrating our oneness. Now, anyone who knows me knows that I am not very good with compliments of any kind. In fact, they make me squirm to the point that I try any means possible to deflect them, move the conversation somewhere else, any other subject in the universe. About a month ago, I had coffee for the first time with one of our parishioners who, in the most kind and loving way, tried to get me to accept the praise and thanks for the work I do, for the presence that I bring. And although I tried to deflect that conversation, and well, he was having no part of that. That voice has remained with me for the past month and has crept into almost every aspect of my ministry and the way I look at my work in the church and how important it is for me to see that by one kind complimentary gesture, I have gained strength to continue down the road I've been called to and to continue to do my work with certain momentum. I wonder what would happen if each of us took a moment to tell someone in our worshiping community, maybe even someone we don't know very well, what their presence means to us, what gifts they bring to our community, just by being. Being a community based in love and respect for each other is hard work, especially if we get into that space where we say to ourselves, I could only do it better, or my way is the right way. I see a lot of people here who have many different talents and gifts to offer, and I have a sense that for some, they remain hidden for various reasons, ranging from fear of commitment to having been there at some point in time and been burned by rejection. I encourage us, all of us here, to seriously examine how we operate in our community and what we can offer of ourselves to make this community of love and acceptance that we so long to be. Paul concludes by saying, "But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, for whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth and the building of itself up in love." May our motivation be to speak this truth in love, and the offering of ourselves continue in the buildup of this body of Christ, so that we may truly celebrate who we are, both here in our work in the church, and in our daily lives, and in our interactions with others. Amen.